I am so brave. I hid right behind you.
I thought you were going to lose your eye. All right. I'm Tracy Burns. Welcome to Wine on the Street. We just ducked from what we thought was going to be a flying cork here at Gary's Wine and Marketplace in Wayne, New Jersey. Gary actually hid behind me, I have to admit. Right, Gary?
I thought I was brave up until I thought that cork was coming my way. And I
Chad
did.
Watkins, wine expert extraordinaire, was the one who almost took our eye out. And no, Lisa Justice is here. Thankfully, she was not in the eye of the cork.
I would never take
your
eye out.
Oh, here it goes again. All right. All right.
The key is in opening it properly.
So we're popping bubbly because regardless of what you're serving on Thanksgiving Day, we think it's really nice to start your guests with something bubbly. Right, Gary?
I love champagne. I love bubbles in all form. And when you have my family over, the quicker you can get into it with alcohol, the better life is.
See, I actually agree with that. And that's why I think everyone should be somewhat price conscious on Thanksgiving Day, because you need a lot.
Agreed.
Right? You need quantity, Lisa. You need it to last all day because, oh, dear God, Chad, you're freaking me out here. All right, so we have a bunch of bubbly, and we're going to talk about all different kinds, because champagne, all the way down to Prosecco, really, your budget determines what you pour. Right, Lisa?
Absolutely.
So, Prosecco is pretty much the most common next to champagne, I think, right?
Well, Prosecco is almost taken over the market with gangbusters over the last, like, 5-6 years.
Why is that?
There's lots of reasons. One is its price. You know, you can get a great Prosecco between $8 and $12. It's not as bone dry as champagne. And a lot of people think dry, talk dry, but they don't mean it.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and wow.
We are a Coke nation after all.
I know, it's true though.
Yeah.
That is very true.
You know, we're drinking.
I mean, there's a reason people drink Moscato, right? Because you go from Sprite to Moscato when you're a kid.
Absolutely. And sweet red is one of the biggest categories
right now. How many people drink black coffee?
Right.
They put the foam in.
Light and sweet.
That's it. They're drinking Prosecco.
So, to your point, though, the American palate is sweeter.
Yeah.
Fruitier.
Yes, they like it fruitier.
Thank you, Chad. Okay, so, if you're thinking of going champagne, Prosecco, let's start with cheaper to most expensive. Can we do that?
Yeah, so if you look at, you have Prosecco and you have Cava. Cava's Spanish. Sparkling, made method champenois, so it's made just like champagne.
Whereas Prosecco is not.
Prosecco is made by what's called the Charmat method, which means that they ferment it in a big stainless steel tank, and then they put it in the bottle. Whereas champagne, everything happens in the bottle.
Now, we should also back up a little bit and say the reason you could only call champagne is from the Champagne region of France, and Prosecco is only Prosecco because it's only from the very northeast little bitty corner of Italy.
Right. And there's a couple different regions that make Prosecco. It's actually made from a grape called Glera, which is also Prosecco grape, but they've changed it because there's
the Italians
a couple different
have
regions.
To make things complicated.
Exactly.
We've discussed that here before.
Right.
Because it was at one point the Prosecco grape.
Right.
Then
so technically the category is sparkling wine. And within sparkling wine, there's champagne from Champagne. There's Cremant, which is from other regions of France, which is what we have in our glass right now. Then there's things like Cava, there's sparkling wine from California. I mean, everyone's got their own. There's Sekt from Germany.
So, because everyone wants to produce a sparkling.
That's right.
Because sparkling's fun, to Gary's
it's
point.
Fun, and it's an extremely versatile wine. It's a lot of fun to drink.
But you just can't call it a champagne unless you're in France.
Right.
You shouldn't call it Burgundy unless it's from the Burgundy
region.
Fair enough.
But I think people often think, because it's white and it's bubbly, it's therefore a champagne.
Right.
It's not.
And it's super food friendly. You can go from the beginning of the meal as an aperitif all the way through the meal to the end at dessert. I can't really think off the top of my head any food that champagne just completely doesn't work
with. I'd love that you just said that, actually, because I think way too many people save champagne for, like, weddings and graduations.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I was just doing a tasting the other night, and I said one of my all-time favorite pairings that I crave more than any other is sparkling wine and probably more champagne than anything else, and French fries. Fried foods are beautiful with sparkling wine.
I've actually heard that.
Fried foods are also good in the morning after drinking too much champagne.
With the hair of the mimosa.
That's a fair
with
statement.
The mimosa. And speaking of mimosas, if you're going to add or make a Bellini, Prosecco is probably a great way to go. Why spend the money on an expensive champagne?
No, you don't want to mix that. No.
Okay, so your guests come, and to Gary's point, the quicker they get alcohol or you get alcohol in you, the better. Prosecco on the low end.
You don't start drinking when you start cooking?
Breakfast?
I have.
Okay.
At least at breakfast.
Right.
Okay, so Prosecco, Cava, same price. Different, definitely different taste we're saying here, though. The Prosecco much fruitier, the Cava drier.
The drier.
This
yep.
is really just dependent on what you want.
But great, really inexpensive
price point,
options.
Like what, 10, 15
10
bucks?
10 to 15 bucks, right.
I love that. Yeah. Okay.
And both can be mimosas, yep. Kir Royales,
Bellinis,
any of those. And yeah. you wouldn't feel guilty about over, you
absolutely.
Know, wasting. Good
fabulous.
Time. What are we tasting
now? Okay,
JCB.
So now, I'm
yes,
loving the
so
color.
So this is JCB Cremant de Bourgogne. So it's from the rosé. Burgundy region of France, and it's a rosé style, which means that it's made predominantly from Pinot Noir. That's what gives it its color. It also has a little bit of Chardonnay in it to give it a little more body. But the beautiful pink color is what I love about rosé champagne. It tends to have a little bit of those, like, strawberry notes, which is really, really refreshing.
It's funny. In the nose, it doesn't smell like it's going to be as dry.
Right.
But in the palate, in the finish, it's bone dry.
I love it. Now, you're telling me this is champagne?
This is Cremant de Bourgogne.
So it's not champagne.
It's
not
made
champagne. It's from Burgundy.
Made in the champagne method.
Okay.
But from Burgundy, France, yeah.
And it's called number 69.
We're not even going to comment on that.
It's Jean-Charles Boisset, so you just have to know the man to know that...
there's something with the 69.
Yeah, probably like the 69th parallel. No, I don't know. There's
something,
something. No.
I'm sure.
There's something legit.
Actually, all the more reason to buy the bottle and start the conversation.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying. All right, so this is rosé style. I love it. I'm all about pink, too.
And the color is beautiful.
It's beautiful, because it's not really, it's wet, like salmon.
Salmon. Great,
little
great presentation, yeah.
I joke, it's something like this, and smoked salmon is a perfect beginning.
I love that.
Know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that makes people happy.
Oh, yeah.
It's the holidays. People like bubbly. Now, I got to believe that your bubbly sales are kicked up a notch during this time?
For sure. And they do, actually, they start...
About
know,
this time, really, because people do start buying
for Thanksgiving. And also entertaining. You go to somebody's house, instead of having a cocktail, all the cocktails are big in their bag.
I know.
You still have to make them. But if you're having a big enough party, you know, and you or a dinner party, somebody, they walk into your house and you
pop
have
some bubbly.
Some bubbles ready to go.
But I love, Lisa, to your point, it should be drunk more often and all year round.
It doesn't have to be a celebration.
Right.
I mean, certainly...
Hell, life is a celebration. Getting up on a Monday is a celebration.
But Chip, you add bubbles and suddenly people are smiling.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I know I am.
It becomes something a little more than it was originally.
So we've moved to Schramsberg Blanc de Blanc. Now.
Yeah.
So we've gone
so
from
we've
France
crossed
to
the
California.
Ocean.
Yeah. We have. Yeah.
Okay.
So now we're talking Schramsberg, which is one of the older and I think one of the better quality sparkling wine producers in California. They're actually in Napa. They started producing back in the 40s or 50s, I think. Or 60s? 60s, okay. I'm trying to give them a few extra years. And this is their Blanc de Blanc, which Blanc de Blanc means that it's white of white.
Right.
So it's 100% Chardonnay. So that's what that means.
As opposed to Blanc de Noir.
Which is 100% Pinot Noir.
100% Pinot Noir. But still would be, could be white.
Blanc de Noir is white. Yeah.
Right.
Whereas what we just had, the rosé, that's got that pink color to it.
And that's because they add the skins back a little bit later on, right?
They leave the skins in from
the
beginning.
The skins
and
in.
Sometimes what they'll do is a dosage, and they'll also add back red.
Mm-hmm. Red wine.
Seen that where they, mm-hmm. Red wine.
Yes,
so they
okay.
Have a, so what they do is they do everything as they would normally do for white, and then they add some Pinot Noir back into it, or some red.
In fact, Champagne is the only region in France where you are actually allowed to blend red and white wine together to make rosé.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yep.
You see, Chad, chock full of knowledge.
This is beautiful.
I love Schramsberg.
This is absolutely beautiful, yeah. And I actually would put this up against... probably any Blanc de Blanc coming from Champagne for the price.
Yeah.
It's
really
magnificent.
Now,
well, it's beautiful.
What is the price on this?
So this is $29. And so it's again, sparkling wine from California can often be a really great alternative to champagne, because a lot of champagnes, although we'll see in a moment that there are exceptions, a lot of champagnes really start at around $50 or $60.
Yeah.
Whereas sparkling wine from California, you can get something like this for $30. and it's beautiful. It's right, got really bright acidity.
Like even a low end Piper Heidsieck.
Probably $50.
Yep, 45.
45, yeah. 50 bucks, right? So to your point then, to start, and when you're saying it stands up against champagne any day,
I think
to do...
Yeah. This one most certainly does.
It sure does. And, ironically, I'm seeing on the label it says 50th anniversary, which would give us an idea.
That probably would help us.
But they're great, and they're consistent. You know, it's a great... It's still family-owned.
It's fabulous.
Right.
And there's something nice about that. Are we ready for the debut?
Okay,
and they
so now
taught
we're
you
graduating.
How to saber, right?
I know.
Schramsberg did?
Schramsberg, and I've sabered JCB, and I've sabered Schramsberg.
Now, just so for safety reasons out there, can you saber a bottle that is not a champagne?
So opening champagne is definitely a very tricky business, and you want to be careful because there is a lot of pressure in here. I forget the exact numbers, but it's up there.
Yeah.
So you can really do some damage. The best piece of advice that I can give anyone is make sure it is ice cold. Because the cooler a bottle is, the lower the perceived pressure is. So that's step one. Step two is if you're going to saber, make sure nobody else is around.
I would not advise people sabering.
Not on Thanksgiving Day.
No.
It depends on your relatives. But...
That's a good point.
It's definitely a...
Yeah.
Okay, but it has
but
to be made in the champagne method.
It should be
method.
Made in the
like,
champagne
don't go,
method.
Don't go trying to saber a Prosecco.
No, don't saber a Prosecco. Because
it's
of the different
pop.
Process,
right.
the pressure is different, the production is different, so it's even more dangerous with something like a Prosecco.
I've moved away from sabering because... Because
he's thinking about who's going to saber someone's eye out on Thanksgiving Day.
And then they're going to call us. And
yeah,
say,
yeah.
You know.
Then there's
anyway,
lawsuits.
DeVoe, I'm into the DeVoe now. And you smell that. Mm. So the Schramms were, I thought, was great, right? You had the delicate nose and beautiful aromatics. The DeVoe is now French. You could tell.
You can tell.
You know, it's got...
Why do you say you can tell?
Mineral.
Yeah, okay.
You get some of that mineral in the nose.
Yep. I also get a little bit of what I consider very typical champagne, a little bit of that bready yeast.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah,
yes.
So if anybody's a bread baker, you know that yeast smell.
Yes.
And you definitely pick that up in this glass because that's something that can be very characteristic of champagne, especially higher quality champagne, and even more so in a lot of vintage kind of aged champagne. So to me, that tells me the quality. If I smell a little bit of that yeastiness, I think automatically it's better quality.
Yeah.
This tastes fabulous, though. And you said earlier that this is not an expensive bottle.
No, it's like $30.
That's pretty crazy.
This is awesome. I got to tell you, it coats my mouth.
Yeah,
right?
Me too. And it's still going.
The richness.
It's
and
still going.
It's almost like I don't want to say sweet. But it's
got that
it's
fruit. So this one is 70% Chardonnay, 30% Pinot Noir. So it's got that body of the Chardonnay, but that richness of the Pinot Noir, which is that coating, I think.
Delicious.
This is delicious.
It's really delicious.
I have to
really
say nice. That you can taste when the Pinot Noir is there.
Yeah.
Right? It just adds that extra. I mean, is that something people should look forward to if they're looking for a more dry product? They're better off with a Blanc de Blanc or just a pure Chardonnay?
I think what you get, and this is a good example, so we had the Blanc de Blanc, forget the France versus California, the Blanc de Blanc comes across to me a little more delicate.
Yes.
Okay.
Almost like a cleaner style.
Right, the traditional Brut Champagne, and most of them some Pinot Meunier also.
Yes, which is a small grape. There's usually not a lot, but it can be 10%
but
or
so. But that's allowed in Champagne, right?
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. And a lot of people... Almost everybody, I thought, on their Brut does
typically.
But the fact is, in this, you're getting more of a richness. So, again, it goes to food. If I'm having cream sauces or something, I would have the Schramsberg as an aperitif or for my first course. And then as I got richer food, I would go to the DeVoe.
Oh,
if you're playing that game, you know, as we talked, as Lisa said, you said that on, you know, drinking
it all
night
long. Through the whole meal. This is...
I haven't
really
tasted
good.
It. I've tasted it on
here,
its
I'll
own.
I'll just grab this if you guys don't mind.
I've not tasted it.
Or you can refill our glasses.
Yes.
All right, so that being said, we're going to keep drinking champagne or Blanc de Blanc. I actually do really like this. And I think we're all in agreement that you should toast your guests on Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to say thank you to all of you right now.
Yes.
You guys are wonderful. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Shantani. And everyone should drink more bubbly.
Bubble up.
Amen.
Absolutely.